committee where everybody's wearing orange.
Okay. I told Marty. Said, man, I need a coffee. He's going to bring me.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is the 20th of April. This is the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. I'm going to go ahead and call us to order. We do have colleagues. The House members are going to be going on to floor session at 2 o'clock. So I'm going to move into our public hearing, but I am going to break that. If we're not finished, I'm going to break by 1:45. And we can do the work session. That'll take us about 10 minutes. So we're going to see if we can get everything taken care of before 1:45. So I'm going to go ahead and convene a public hearing on House Bill 5025, which is the Oregon Beaver Development Department. and invite the team to come forward and chat with us. For those curious sitting at home, today is Oregon State Day at the Capitol, and I'm pleased to see everybody on the committee so far got the memo. All right, welcome.
We're a fraternity. Yeah.
Co-chairs Johnson and Gomberg, thank you for having me today. My name is Chris Cummings, and for the record, I'm the Assistant Director of Economic Development at Business Oregon. We're here today as part of Phase 2 for our budget presentation to discuss the Regional Solution Team projects and their overall program.
Chris, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second.
Certainly.
A couple of colleagues just joined us. I just wanted to bring them up to speed and explain that that we are having an open hearing right now for the Oregon Beaver Development Department. And Senator, you didn't appear to get the memo today.
Well, let me just put my little
fight the resistance. Yeah.
Excuse the interruption.
It's quite all right. Thank you. I'm here briefly during this presentation just to let you know what Business Oregon does with regional solution teams. Regional Solution Team funds come through one of our funds called the Regional Infrastructure Fund, and we're responsible for administering the projects that were awarded to Regional Solutions Teams. Primarily, what we do for the Regional Solutions Team is administer the grants that are awarded, work on contracts, work on scopes of work, and finalize the projects as they move through. We also lend assistance where needed. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Cummings, you said something that I think bears correction, and I say that with respect and affection for you, and that is that you administer the Regional Solution Funds. You do, sorta. In the last budget cycle, colleagues, there were some projects that were under the rubric of Regional Solutions, but moved in a way that I'm going to call extraterritorial. They did not come as part of a Regional Solutions package. They were advocated for and budgeted separately from the funds that you have. And if you could draw that distinction on the record, it would certainly be helpful. Let me just add my editorial comment. I think that is a bad way to do this. If we're going to have OBDD, and specifically Mr. Cummings' very capable shop, responsible for helping to deliver these projects and make sure that they're done appropriately and with the proper economics, they all ought to be in one place where they can be scrutinized for fiscal efficacy, and there can be reports back on whether or not they were completed properly.
Thank you. And to clarify along those lines, what we administer are funds awarded for Regional Solution Team projects that were lottery bond funds that were selected and approved by the legislature in the last session. Yes, there are other programs or funds that the Regional Solution Team may have. We are not responsible for those.
I'm going to beat this to death. I'm doing it because you've got a target of opportunity sitting next to you. We either put the Regional Solutions stuff in one place where it can be watched or not. And Chris is in the unenviable position of saying we take care of the Regional Solutions. Oh, except for those that traveled a different path. And for our newcomers, there are 11 Regional Solution districts, and early on, they were these nimble entrepreneurial creatures that were set up to solve problems. And then we, and I've been a big advocate of regional solutions, we did what I think was a fatally dumb thing. We gave them a big bag of money. And instead of having organic problems that were solved locally and then money but for to push a project to completion, it was like, oh, we got money. Let's go find a problem. And I think that corrupted the entrepreneurial nimbleness of regional solutions. But the point that I'm trying to make here, and I'm way too far down in the weeds, is you guys in the governor's office have it within your power to bring some rigor and some discipline back to this, and I hope you avail yourself of the opportunity. And Mr. Cummings is absolutely correct. He takes good care of those projects that were reposited in his agency. Others traveled a different path, but under the regional solutions heading. And I think it gave rise to a lot of confusion. No.
Well, thank you. On that note, actually, as I mentioned, my presentation will be brief. I wanted to let you know that as far as the funds being administered that were awarded by the legislature, being lottery bond funds, we manage those projects. And we work with regional solutions teams on those projects and many other projects that come to bear. And it's been a great partnership in being able to pull from many different areas to find solutions to various projects. With that note, I will pass it along to Jason.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Gomber, Co-Chair Johnson, members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you to Chris Cummings from Business Oregon. My name is Jason Lewis Berry, and for the record, I am the director of the Regional Solutions Program in the governor's office and also the governor's advisor for economy and jobs. So I will go through just a little bit of background, a little bit of structure on the program. I certainly know some of you on the committee are well-versed in regional solutions, so I'll try to just hit some of the basics for everyone. And I confess that I am still new myself. I've been on the job for 2 months. I think the official 2-month date is tomorrow. So I will beg your forgiveness in advance if I don't have every detail at my beck and call today, but I will certainly do my homework if there are questions. First, a quick explanation of my position. It is merged from what was two positions. So there was the Regional Solutions Director and the Advisor for Economy and Jobs. The Governor's Office decided to make that one position, which has worked so far. There is a lot of overlap, a lot of complementarity when it comes to economic and community development around the state. I am based here in Salem, certainly prioritizing making sure that I have the relationships with all the key actors here, whether in the legislature, across the state agencies, as well as, of course, within the governor's office itself, and making sure that I am connecting all the dots across policy advisors and the many issues that regional solutions can end up touching or at least aware of. While based in Salem, I do get around the state. In my 2 months, I have been to 10 of the 11 economic development districts, which are the same as the regional solutions defined regions. So I have been prioritizing getting a real on-the-ground understanding for this program, understanding the priorities of the regional leaders, the local partners, and that has been quite useful to me. Just a little bit of a quick background note on me. I moved back to Oregon recently for this position. I was raised here in Oregon, in Lane County, but was gone for the last 20 years or so working primarily on the federal level. So I have recently returned and already feeling that I can leverage a lot of my experience that I had with the State Department working as a diplomat, where I had a lot of responsibilities for bringing together different agencies and for managing dispersed teams. In my case previously, this was teams around the world, and now we're talking about teams spread out in different parts of Oregon. So just a quick slide here. We'll get this. Moving to the Regional Solutions purpose. I do think this is a special program, and I take to heart Co-Chair Johnson's comments about the things that we need to watch out for to make sure we stay true to the original intent of streamlining government. I do think that is still happening, but I am putting a very close eye on it. I think this is something that the state of Oregon can be proud of. The point of this program is to listen to the leaders at the regional level when they talk about their economic and community development priorities, and then to figure out how the state, with its different resources and its different influence, if you're talking about the governor's office, how the state can put its resources and help at the disposal of those local partners. So I do think that is a special formula. just to get into a couple slides of that basic background that I previewed would be coming up. So there are 11 regions, and within each region is kind of overseen, if you will, by a regional solutions advisory committee. So I'll talk about that committee, and there is, of course, also a regional solutions team in each of these 11 regions. I'll talk about that a bit, too. But to give you the basics, you see the map there. My team, the folks who actually report to me, is 10 people, including myself. There's one other person based in Salem, and then 8 field coordinators. So off the bat, 11 regions, 8 coordinators. That does mean that several of those coordinators are responsible for 2 regions.
Let me make sure I understand what the body count is. Would you go over that again?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me what the total body count in RST is right now.
Sure. So the Regional Solutions Program, including myself, and I'm actually funded 75% Regional Solutions, 25% from the rest of the governor's office budget. But if you include myself in those 10, then one other individual based here who's a policy analyst, kind of coordinator of coordinators, if you will, from Salem, and then 8 Regional Solutions coordinators in the field.
So it's 11 plus 8.
There are 11 regional solutions areas, but there are only eight coordinators for those 11. So, for example, our coordinator in Eastern Oregon is responsible for 2 regions.
Right, I get that, but I still am struggling with the math. How many total bodies are there in regional solutions right now?
10, including me.
Okay, and what's the function, follow-up?
Please.
What's the function of the coordinator to coordinate the coordinators?
Yeah, that person is here to pull together all the information coming from the different parts of from the different field coordinators to help me. She's the only I don't have an administrative assistant. She's the only person who supports me as I move around the state. So there's a wide variety of reporting functions, of making sure that we're following our processes, et cetera.
Mr. Lewsberry.
Yes, please.
We've heard Senator Johnson's concerns. I wanted to ask you a different sort of question. You have the opportunity to look at this program with a new eye.
Yeah.
Some of these regions are enormous, and some of them, while not quite as large, are still pretty darn big and remarkably diverse. My own region takes in, ironically, 2 universities, Oregon State and the U of O, some of the most fertile farmland in Oregon, and 200 miles of beaches. How do we ensure that the best requests float to the top of the pile?
Yeah. Thank you, Co-Chair Gomberg. I think that's a great question. And you're right that it is a challenge. Each one of these regions is big, and many of them are quite diverse, as is yours. I think, first of all, the formula that we have these coordinators living in these regions. They live there, they work there, they know the people, that's where their kids go to school. They do get a very good understanding of the regions. I do think that the advisory committees, of course, and Senator Johnson, Co-Chair Johnson, is a convener of one of these committees. She knows them very well. They play a key role in doing the quality control and setting the priorities for a region. I do think, and it may vary by region about kind of how these different committees work, but I do think that these are leaders, private sector, public sector, philanthropic sector, leaders from these regions, and they play a significant role.
Is there anything we can do to better ensure that the best projects rise to the surface?
I appreciate that question, Co-Chair Gomberg. I will, for one, take that on board as something, if I may, that I can come back to you with if things come to mind. But one thing that I do think has already been improved, and I think this circles back to part of what Co-Chair Johnson said earlier, is there's a new process that's coming online for this next biennium in the way that we review and approve projects. And one part of that process is to make sure that we have the very capable folks in Business Oregon doing a real good technical review on each project. So to make sure that the good ideas that may come out of a region from the advisory committee also go through a real scrub about the feasibility of that project.
Senator.
I have 2 questions. What new process?
So thank you, Senator Johnson. I think there was a new set of rules put in place, again, before my time, to make sure that we have the kind of the best consistent process across all the regions. And I do have a slide on that. I'd be happy to jump to that if you like. Perhaps Mr. Cummings can help with this. But there have been a few changes in the way that these decisions will be made for the next round.
And where might a layperson find that?
Co-Chairs Johnson, Gomberg, members of the committee. These currently are in rule. We needed to update our rules for Secretary of State, and we did that. What we'll be working with should regional solutions teams receive further funds is that we'll be working with them to build a program. Some of you know my background. That's somewhat similar to Connect Oregon, so we'll have policy guidance and guidelines, frequently asked questions, et cetera, for possible recipients of the funds or applicants. Part of what was changed in, or what we're proposing to change in the legislation for seeking additional funds is that as opposed to each individual project being approved, say, here through the legislature, is that we would have a final, sort of a final committee review these projects, and that committee would be comprised of both the Infrastructure Finance Authority Board and the Business Oregon Commission.
Senator.
It just begs the question, what is the prophylactic from that would keep some of these projects from traveling outside of the regional solutions process? I can think of two right offhand that were under the rubric of regional solutions, but they never went through the process. Rain was one of them, and another irrigation project down in Southern Oregon called WISE. Those did not move inside regional solutions. They were funded with political advocacy in the building. And if there are going to be rules that apply to regional solutions, I'm looking for that unifying set of principles or processes that guarantee that those things that are allegedly regional solutions have some cohesion or some common character to them.
I agree.
Yeah, I thank you, Co-Chair Johnson. I do take that on board, and I think this new process will help us with that.
Senator Hansel, I look at this map. I did note that my region is in green and yours is in orange, a certain irony there. But please, you have a question?
Where is the other coordinator that has two regions?
Sure. Thank you, Senator Hansel. There are several. So certainly Eastern Oregon is one. The same coordinator covers Central Oregon and South Central Oregon. The Klamath and Lake are lumped in with the person who covers the three counties in the middle. And then Southwest Oregon has two regions. So the same person based out of Medford covers Jackson and Josephine as well as the other counties along the coast.
I thought you said that you had eight of the 11. Yeah, gotcha. There's something wrong with that. You've got three quarters of the state and three people. I don't know. I think that's been a change from what it used to be when I was a county. I know it's a change from when I was a county commissioner, but it just.
Administratively, I just don't see how that can work.
Senator Johnson.
If I can pile on, you don't even have your rock star over there. I think Scott Fairley's just quit.
You're kidding.
No. Is that true?
He has just given notice. He hasn't finished yet, but that is true.
But that begs the question about you inherited this construct. And this construct was, in relying on memory, was in some instances proscribed by available funds. But others made decisions, and I'm not sure how much local consultation there was, and there has been some shifting around of boundaries. But I would question, why do we need a regional solutions person in the metro area? You've got in the metro area the Federal Economic Development Organizations, you've got PDC, you've got Westside Economic Alliance, you've got all of these powerhouse economic organizations. And I don't know why you would have that level of duplication in the metro area when you might take one of these districts that is six counties. And I can promise you, having driven in that big orange chunk, there are huge sections where there's no cell phone service. So you've rendered the person muzzled for the driving time. But I don't know what it is that would constrain you as the new sheriff in Dodge to stick with these designations, geographic designations, and whether or not there would be any interest in reanalyzing whether or not these are efficacious. And I'll just finish by saying part of the reasons that Regional Solutions has worked is that the folks have personal relationships.
Absolutely.
And those are trust relationships to do some really complicated projects. As I explained to you when we first met, my Regional Solutions has done two of the most complicated projects where we raised $40 million to build schools. And we're just finishing the Southern Flow Corridor that's the largest, I believe, wetland restoration and flood mitigation project on the west coast of the United States. Those are big, complicated projects. They worked because the Regional Solutions Coordinator had trust relationships with naysayers and helped bring them along as we worked through 10 years of working on these projects. These are not overnight projects. But I'm just curious whether or not you've given any consideration to a realignment that would maintain those trust relationships.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Johnson. I do appreciate that. I think I am looking at things with fresh eyes, and I haven't. I actually would need to double check to make sure that there isn't any other rules that say this can't be realigned. I'm not sure if there's anything in the previous legislation.
That's why God made the legislature. We get to change the rules.
Well, I appreciate that. I will keep that in mind. Thank you,
Representative Reardon.
I'm almost, I've seen so much value in the Oregon Solutions process. I want to just chime in a little bit because I am working on a recently developed and approved project. And it was Lentz Floodplain Restoration, and it's out of southeast Portland. I don't want to go into the details of it, but I just want to mention that why do you need Oregon Solutions to come in and help? This is a project that it covers at least three agencies within the city of Portland, including a PDC. God knows how many state agencies and people are involved. Business Oregon has been very helpful. We'll have federal interactions and state, and it's just incredibly complex project that will probably take that 10, 15 years to get it done. Nobody in that city could take on that project, and I tried. It came out of the Bureau of Environmental Services, identified the problem. It couldn't have, I don't know how it would have happened without Oregon Solutions. It hasn't happened for 30 years. So you're making me a little nervous if we talk about restructuring too much. I don't know the application but in this particular case, it's worked really well. So I'm done.
All right. Thank you, Representative.
Good question. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you're going to make my point. Is it a Regional Solutions or an Oregon Solutions project?
It was regional.
Okay. The reason that I ask you is there are two different programs.
Okay.
One of them is Oregon Solutions that is run out of Portland State University.
And that's who I'm working with.
Okay. Different from this.
Okay.
And so you're making my point. I don't do this
to help out.
Well, I don't do this to embarrass you, but I'm doing it to make a broader point. Mm-hmm. We have these parallel universes that are all with different funding and all with different. I absolutely agree with you that some of these big intractable problems, and Oregon Solutions was the first bite at this apple, and it then morphed into Regional Solutions. But some of these big intractable problems where you have to get feds, municipal, counties, private sector funders, government, all in academia, all in the same room. These programs have been uniquely able to do that. But I'm wondering, with our fresh set of eyes, whether or not for multiple millions of dollars we need to fund Oregon Solutions and Regional Solutions, and they all travel in different universes. And I think we ought to be crystal clear about that as we talk about their value. And I agree with you. Oregon Solutions does great work. Our Vernonia project started out as an Oregon Solution, so I know the value of both.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, colleagues. This is a good conversation. I want to move us along, particularly since we're going to have to back away at about quarter till. And we've got a couple of other people who are going to talk about Regional Solutions as well. So let's continue.
Thank you, Kurt. Okay. So just to get through, I think we've hit this. I won't belabor it. There are committees with five core members appointed by the governor. These are the Regional Solutions Advisory Committees, one for each of the 11 regions. and then the Regional Solutions Team, RST. When we refer to that, we're referring to the both the coordinator from the governor's office, the folks who report to me, and the representatives from the five core agencies that are part of Regional Solutions. And you see those agencies listed on this slide. Okay. I would like to, if we can, to invite some of the partners who are here today. We have Mayor Chuck Bennett and Ms. Doris Penwell. Mayor Bennett is from Salem, and Doris Penwell is from the Association of Oregon Counties.
Welcome. Who's going to go first for us today?
Go ahead, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Chair Gomberg, Chair Johnson, my name is Chuck Bennett. I'm mayor of the city of Salem. I'm here to talk about a couple of different projects we've had handled by Regional Solutions, and I think they speak to both of the roles they're playing right now, at least for those of us here in the Mid-Valley region, with James LaBar as our Regional Solutions person and our convener, Senator Jackie Winters. The first is one where we got some financing from the Regional Solutions Infrastructure Fund for our Career and Technical Education Center, a project here in Salem that was developed with the tremendous assistance of a local philanthropist, Larry Tukarski, who made a substantial contribution buying us an old factory here in town, our school district. And then putting together with Regional Solutions and others a whole series of funding opportunities, including the school district, $900,000 from Regional Solutions, which was a tremendous contribution to this. This has particularly been important because we've had to retool this building and fill it up with useful career and technical education equipment. And then really for the first time as a result of this getting underway the way it did, I was able to convince the city council that we needed to put in about $1 million of city funds for the first time into an education project because it so clearly reflects a workforce development goal that we have in our urban renewal agency. The second area that I want to mention, and this one just happened recently, this involves our Salem River Crossing project here in Salem, our second bridge. We call it our third, but it's really of the system, the second bridge up in northeast Salem connecting to west Salem. We've been working on the environmental impact statement for this with the federal government, ODOT, and I don't know how many different agencies of both state and federal government for the past 10 years. We're coming down to the end of our 10-year period, about to receive our record of decision. We made, as a city, a couple of amendments to our transportation system plan in cooperation with ODOT and others, and all of a sudden we had DLCD prepared to appeal our decision. And this is 10 years of intergovernmental cooperation, particularly involving the Oregon Department of Transportation, and out of the woodwork comes the land use agency about to appeal a very minor issue involving our transportation plan. And we turned to Senator Winters and to Mr. LaBar and asked them to help us out. And that was, I think, probably listening to Senator Johnson discuss this, probably the classic example of helping a local government cut through what was about to become a real endgame problem for us involving state agencies that apparently don't talk much to each other over 10-year periods of interacting with a local government unit, led us down the primrose path, and were about to leave us in the slough. And James and Senator Winters, through Regional Solutions, were able to get us sat down in a room, discuss this with the head of DLCD, and the Department of Transportation were able to develop a memorandum of understanding, which we hope to translate into an intergovernmental agreement that DLCD and ODOT could both agree to and not leave Marion County, Polk County, the city of Salem, and the various communities that are hopefully going to be relying on that additional bridge crossing for their economic future stuck in the lurch. So we are very supportive of regional solutions and the work they've been doing for us, both with their infrastructure fund and with their ability to cut through some of the nonsense you run into at the state level. So appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Representative.
Co-Chair Gomberg and members of the committee, I'm Doris Penwell. I'm from the Association of Oregon Counties, and I feel a little bit like I have a conflict of interest here because I've been around economic development issues for so long, and I was sort of there when they formed the regional the Community Solutions Program, which was the first edition of this whole thing. And I want you to know that counties, all 36 of them, have been so supportive of this kind of an effort over all of these years since, I believe, the first Kitts Harbor One era. And really, the comments that you just heard from Mr. Bennett are exactly the reason that decision makers at the state level thought that they better put together some form of entity that deals with the state agencies that deal in economic development, but they work in at you know along their little path, but they don't work together all the time. So and economic development department had no ability to tell some other agency that we have this project and we need to move it along quickly. So the governor's office did indeed form this team, and I think that's the main reason that these teams are so important to the state. It kind of and it's stronger today than it was in the beginning, because at the local level and the way they've organized, they really pull in local leaders that can be there and get to know each other and work together on issues, whether they're regional solutions issues or not, or projects or not. They get to know each other, and they know when one of these things comes up, they know where to call. So that's one of the reasons that we've been so supportive of the program. And we, of course, appreciate the funding that comes from the state infrastructure financing dollars. Not all issues can be paid for by infrastructure dollars. There are other local issues that really are serious and need some attention, and that may be one of the reasons why they come out in some other agencies, even though they are regional solutions projects. One of the other things I'd like to say, because I don't want to go on forever, but several biennia ago, when we had some budget shortfalls, major budget shortfalls, sort of like we're doing today, there was some discussion about cutting the Community Solutions or Regional Solutions program, and the counties came forward and said, we think it's so important that we continue to work with each other that we would like to say that a portion of the 2.5% video lottery funds that go to counties be used for funding of administration for the regional solutions process at the governor's office. That has continued over several biennia, and I believe it's in the governor's budget today, and we still support that. It's worth our getting together and continuing to work together. If you have any questions, I'd love to answer.
Yes, Senator.
Have counties, given that your funders of regional solutions, been consulted about the new plan?
You mean the way it will be organized at the Business Oregon Department?
No. Mr. Lewis-Berry made a comment about new rules. Have you guys, given that you're a funder, have you been consulted?
Senator Johnson, Chair Gomberg, not directly, but it could be that some of this has been discussed in one of the regional solutions teams, but we do not directly know about that. Our funding goes to the administration in the governor's office, half of the administration, so that's a good question. I don't
color
think
me
I have
parochial.
The
if I was helping to pay for something, I'd want to say in how it worked. But
we
that's
understand.
Just me.
We agree with you.
Okay. Senator Hansel.
Doris, you know, having come from the county background, I was just counting up. I've got in my senatorial district, there are parts or all of three of the regional districts out there. It goes from McDermott on the Nevada border to Milton Freewater on the Washington border. Are the counties in those areas, do they feel that they're getting the type of attention service that they need over these broad expanses? I mean,
Chair Gumberg and Senator Hansel, this is an age-old issue. I think people in those large counties in eastern Oregon and central, they're very used to being put together because they have fewer citizens than they do on the west side of the state. I think they're used to this. This is one of the reasons that I think the counties wanted to be sure that every county was represented on every regional solutions advisory group. Because if we aren't, then we don't get the attention we need. And, you know, there are a lot of things going on that side of the state. So it's a good question. We have always hoped that we had more staffing to help. It would help a lot because that's where we need the attention, as you say, in Portland area, maybe not so much.
Well, I understand that. But, you know, if you look at ODOT, their configurations of the acts are their administrative districts are much smaller. They're nothing like that within there. Almost, I've never seen any, you know, this was new to me of how expansive these are and serviced by one person out of LeGrand, who now has just left. It just seems to me you're building in the inability to develop those relationships and how with five people representing that large of an area, one city, one county commissioner, it just seems like it's a formula for failure.
Senator, just to finalize that, my comments on that, I think they are very creative about ways of trying to get their problems solved. And they know that this is the way it has been forever. So people have to keep pushing to get attention for the service that they need in those parts of the state. And it is very difficult because you spend all your day in the car from going north to south, east to west. It's a different way of working than you might have in southern Oregon or on the coast or up north.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Penwell, Mayor Bennett.
Thank you.
And Mr. Lewis-Berry, we're going to continue for another few minutes, and then we're going to have to take a break.
Thank you, Chair Gumberg. So I'll just move to the next slide. This is just a quick look back at the last biennium when there was $13 million approved for capital projects. So these were the projects recommended by the advisory committees. And as Senator Johnson had pointed out earlier in the previous biennium, there was also a non-capital appropriation of $2 million for RAIN, the Regional Accelerator Innovation Network. The next several slides just give some highlights, and I don't, if any of you would like to dig into these, I can try to get some more details, but just to give you an idea of some of the projects that were occurring in the last few years.
Were occurring or did occur? Because I'd like to know the status of some of these. Do they remain works in progress or are they completed?
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Yeah, some of them are in different phases. Some of these have been completed. Some are still in progress. And I'd be happy to get you kind of a detailed list of those.
I would very much like it.
Okay. So an example, Senator Hansel, in your area, of course, a water delivery system out of Hermiston. This is to increase the irrigated agricultural production in this region. And I believe this is actually just one piece of a much bigger regional project. I don't know a lot about it, but that's what I hear. This is one where both regional solutions problem-solving ability, getting agencies to work more effectively is in play, as well as some regional solutions money. It was $664,000 approximately. They came through the funding that Business Oregon manages for us. And that was just part of the picture, though. There's a leveraging of a lot of other dollars here that looks like it was $13.5 million additional dollars in state and local funds, as well as they anticipate attracting $100 million in private investment.
Senator Johnson.
Senator Hansel, is that Umatilla Basin project
yes.
up and working?
It's the bonds will be sold next month and or in June and for the final push forward. But yes, it seems to be on moving forward.
Good.
Another example, this one is in East Multnomah County, an area that has some pretty significant poverty challenges, but this Troutdale Reynolds Industrial Park is intended to create a lot of good family wage jobs. We're talking about the potential for an additional 3,500 jobs in this region. And the Regional Solutions team has been deeply involved in helping with the regulatory processes, technical assistance, the planning that goes into something like this. And it was approved in the last biennium for $1.14 million in Regional Solutions funding as well. Pacific Seafood in Warrenton, of course, Co-Chair Johnson knows much more about this than I do at this point, but there was a terrible fire in 2013. This facility burned to the ground, putting at risk, I think, approximately 130 jobs.
250 at season.
250.
At the height of season.
Okay. So the Regional Solutions team in this region continues to work with Pacific Seafood as well as the City of Warrenton and others on the design and planning, contracting, permitting that is required to get this facility rebuilt. And the committee also recommended $650,000 in Regional Solutions funds to be part of a much bigger collection of funds to rebuild the facility. Now, ultimately, and again, this was before my time, but there was $150,000 approved. So I believe we still have an ask coming now in this biennium to make up that additional $500,000 that we would still like to see go to this facility. Moving to Southern Oregon in Jackson County, this is a farm facility with the only processing facility for certified organic farms, and RST members were involved in planning for the facility from the very earliest days, doing getting a lot of technical assistance to work on the land approval process. The Regional Solutions contribution to this project was $395,000. The total project was $1.2 million. And this really allows a lot of small and medium-sized farmers in this region to finally get their processing done nearby and by a certified organic facility. In the Detroit Lake case, this was a case where we're just using the problem-solving toolkit. This was not one where we have had Regional Solutions funds involved, but it has been an important one where we've helped work through a permit process that will allow a couple of marinas on Detroit Lake to operate even during low water years, which helps improve the economic resilience for this North kind of Santiam Canyon area.
Madam Co-Chair. Or Matt, Mr.
That's quite all right. Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you. When I see this about Detroit Lake, and I've seen for the last several years these dry docks sitting out there, and we can't even regulate the amount of water coming into this lake. It's a beautiful lake, and it's a great campground. That area and those folks that invested in that community there were decimated over the last several years, going out of business, including the folks that were renting boats. And do you have any information on that and how those communities have been, affected through this process?
Thank you, Representative Meeker, Co-Chair Gomberg. I can definitely get you more information on that, and it sounds like the kind of problem you're describing is exactly why we're involved in this project, to try to maintain the resilience.
Well, in follow-up, Mr.
Please.
Chair, Co-Chair, I'm just hoping that we had such a great rain season and snow season that this lake will come back, but if I was going to invest in something like this, I'd be scared. I would run away, because if you can't control the flow of the water, you have these beautiful docks, but even there wasn't enough water
to even walk out to where the lake should have been. And so Detroit Lake, to me, is a terrible example because it's a beautiful place. People love to go on there, have loved to go there. But it's just been a train wreck this last one. I don't want to bring up trains, but been a big wreck this last several years. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so let's cover the next three slides.
Okay, great. We'll just move through these. Lambeth Falls, another example here of kind of regional solutions problem solving. This is potentially quite a big project that could really transform Oregon City area, Clackamas County more broadly. We were involved, again, this is a, you know, planning, et cetera, and not regional solutions funds at this point. And last example we have in here comes from Newburgh. This is another problem-solving case. What the regional solutions team did here was work with the city of Newburgh to do a kind of inventory asset to figure out what is at this site that could be useful for economic development. And with that information, the city of Newburgh applied for a transportation growth management grant, TGM grant, and was able to get that awarded. So that's another example of kind of some of the help that we give. Okay. Just to look forward now, we were talking about examples from the last biennium, so since we're close on time here, I'll just put up the information that we have here in the governor's requested budget. We ask for $11 million in project money for regional solutions, so that is the Regional Infrastructure Fund managed by Business Oregon. The program, in terms of the types of things that it has done, I think it will continue to be similar to the types of examples that we've just discussed. I do have a particular focus that I'm putting on this on rural economic development, so I'm trying to look at that. And, of course, growing good jobs. I'm also keeping an eye on things that are kind of common around the state. I put one example here, which is the workforce housing problem. We know that the state is very different, so we don't have a cookie-cutter approach. Fortunately, this is not a cookie-cutter program. But when I see something that I keep hearing about every place I go, I pay special attention to that and bring that to the governor's attention as well.
Excellent.
Before you leave that point, how will you coordinate the money that has already been appropriated by the legislature for housing, rather than using the precious regional solutions? There is no more of that, and there are millions of dollars appropriated for housing. I think Senator Hansel and certainly some of the rest of us that represent rural places would like to know, are we going to take this money, or do we get a fair shot at the other housing money?
Thank you, Senator Johnson. I it really is a process led by the advisory committees in each region about which projects they recommend. I don't necessarily see regional solutions becoming a major funder of housing projects in general.
All right. Colleagues, I'm going to go ahead and close this public hearing on 5025. Co-chair, after 2 o'clock, if you want to bring regional solutions back in, pursue some of these vision issues in a little more depth, I think that would be great. Maybe Mr. Bender would have some additional comments.
So procedurally, if you if we do the work session right now and then recess, we still have established a quorum.
I think we need a quorum for the work session, but we can continue the public hearing without a full quorum.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and open a work session on the report on change in use of regional solutions program funds. Mr. Bender, what do we got going on?
Subcommittee members, to explain, you are in work session now. This particular situation, I think, also helps to explain some of the proposed changes in the program that you heard during the public hearing. The department is requesting a change in the use of bond proceeds that were issued for regional solutions projects. There have been really two lottery bond issues that have been issued to support regional solutions projects. In each case, the legislature designated the proceeds to particular projects in particular amounts. In both cases that we know of so far, some of the projects did not go forward. There remains money from the first of the bond sales, which was 2 years ago. And the department is asking that you reauthorize the use of $60,000 of those proceeds that are not being used because the original project didn't move forward toward another project, a regional rail project, a Rainier Rail project, which had received funding but needs additional funds to complete. Please note that the department is asking you to, in the future, approve projects, approve funding without tying them to particular projects. That'll be a decision you'll have to make, but if you do make a decision to do that, then issues like this would not be coming before you again. But given that as a background, I believe Mr. Cummings is going to explain the nature of the request.
All right. Welcome back, Mr. Cummings. If you could introduce yourself for the record.
Of course, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Chris Cummings. I'm the Assistant Director for Economic Development at Business Oregon. I'm here to discuss the changes that Mr. Bender had mentioned. Mr. Bender summed it up very well, is that we've realized there were two bond sales. In the first bond sale, we've realized some cost savings from projects, plus a project that did not go through, won't be moving forward. And what we've also realized in speaking with our Northwest Regional Solutions Committee is that there's a project known as the Rainier A Street Project, which is a rail project associated with Rainier, of course, to improve the rail through the center of their downtown. And along with that project, there's also infrastructure improvements necessary for water, sewer, sidewalks, et cetera. That project is actually quite a large, complicated project, and it involves money from the Regional Solutions team, $2 million, or Regional Solutions Fund, $2 million plus Connect Oregon funds, plus private railroad funds, and Department of Transportation safety crossing funds. What we're realizing is that it's much more complex than probably the city has the capability or capacity right now to handle. And the Regional Solutions Committee has recommended moving $60,000 to help assist with work necessary for to assist the city with moving the project forward. And that request is for $60,000 to be put into the Rainier project. As Mr. Bender had mentioned, when the original projects were approved, they were approved as projects with dollar amounts. The budget note in the legislation for that approval indicated that the Business Development or Oregon Business Development Department needed to come back to this committee to seek approval to move these funds. The approval or the request was approved by the Regional Solutions Committee in that region, which is somebody that we'd want to see first before we just arbitrarily move the funds. Thank you.
Mr. Cummings. So, Mr. Bender, is there an LFO recommendation on this?
Yes, the LFO recommends that you approve the request to authorize the use of $60,000 of existing lottery bond proceeds for the Rainier Rail Project.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the recommendation and you've heard the motion from the co-chair. Is there discussion?
Yes.
I'm going to start at the end.
Is there a document on OLIS for this, or is this just a verbal?
There is.
I missed it then.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Can somebody give me the 33-second version of what the money is used for? Is it preliminary planning? Is it some further down? What's the stage of the project?
Mr. Chair, I can do this easily. This is an $8 million project that the money has been accumulated from public and private sources. It needs a project manager. It is such a complicated project, and this money would be designated for a project manager. I doubt that the whole $60,000 would be subscribed. This was already authorized by the legislature. This is remainder money, and it's just being repurposed.
Yeah. I'm very supportive of the project and just wanted the details. I've been walking across that street since I was a boy, and it is amazing the term people killed there on a daily basis.
This project will prevent that, and your support of this repurposing will drive the thing to completion.
Great. Good to hear.
Senator Hansel.
I also am supportive of the project. Does the $60,000 take out all the remainder of that bond proceeds?
It does not.
It does not. So where the rest, how much is still sitting there?
I don't know the total. I don't know if Mr. Cummings has it offhand. I know that one project that was funded at $300,000 did not go forward. So after this is being used, there would be $240,000 left from that. Mr. Cummings mentioned additional savings. I don't have that number offhand.
We can certainly provide you with the number for that. Co-Chair Gomberg, Representative, or Senator. What I can say is Mr. Bender is correct. There was a project for $300,000 that did not go through. We'll have to work with the Regional Solutions teams and the appropriate Regional Solution Committee to see what happens with those funds and probably come back to the committee in a future point.
Senator.
So $60,000 is sufficient? I mean, if we've got, I want to make sure that we don't underfund it.
Right now we're okay.
Okay, and then secondly, lastly, I'm not so sure that, I mean, I'm supportive of this and we'll vote for it, but just kind of put my stake in the ground. I'd like to have legislative oversight down the road for this type of thing. I'm not so sure I want to vote to give that up.
Senator?
The instructional piece of this, and I say this again to Mr. Lewis Berry, and that is to make sure that these 11 regions that were granted a certain amount of autonomy understand what the rules of the road are. I think that many of the regional solutions regions believe that they could move money around with a tremendous flexibility. And this will go back to the question of to what degree do projects move forward. It's the same dilemma that Mr. Cummings has with Connect Oregon. And that remains a work in progress, Senator.
Points well taken. Any further discussion? All right. Again, colleagues, you've heard the motion is to accept the LFO recommendation. Is there any objection? And the motion carries. Mr. Bender, do we need to do anything further on this item?
This item will go to full committee for final approval. So if you could please, Mr. Co-Chair, appoint a carrier to the full committee. This item does not need to go to the floor.
Okay.
I think there's only one that can do it. Should do it.
All right.
I'll volunteer.
All right. I saw Senator Monroe smiling down there as well.
He was pointing at me.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. I think Senator Johnson would be most pleased to take this to full Ways and Means. Anything else on this work session that we need to cover?
There's not.
Then I'm going to go ahead and close the work session. Co-Chair, do you want to continue the and reopen the public hearing?
I don't know whether or not there were others that were desirous of testifying. Whether or not, okay, no other invited testimony. There's a part of me that doesn't want to squander the time. There's another part that says half a committee is sort of like half a clap, and it disrespects our House colleagues to have one hand clapping. So I think unless I'm looking at and seeing almost all agency people and nobody else, anybody moved by the spirit of public testimony? Okay, then I think. Ms. Penwell,
yes.
Back up for round two.
I just want to answer a question you asked earlier I couldn't respond to.
And go ahead and.
Doris Penwell with the Association of Oregon Counties. Chair Gomberg, Senator Johnson asked the question about whether AOC was consulted with the changing in the rules that you were discussing. Apparently, we definitely were, along with the cities and other parties, to be sure that they were coming forth with something that could be supported by everyone. So wasn't involved.
Thank
I just
you for
wanted
that
you to know.
Right. And just for the purpose of our record, that was in reference to the public hearing on 5025. I didn't reopen that formally, but
yes.
I think we're good.
Good.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order?
I think we should adjourn, Mr.
All right.
Chair.
Thank you all
Thank
very
you.
Much. And we are adjourned.
Yeah.